Hello?
Oh, hello!
Hello. It's
How
me.
are you?
Fabuloso.
Are you?
Yes, of course.
You know, I am also fabuloso. Let me tell you why.
Ooh, do tell.
So, I am pretty sure everyone in every industry listens to this podcast. And our dreams
what?
Have been answered.
Oh, my.
Because, you see, for the longest time, we didn't use this joke. Because it was passé. It had been gone for years. But in the last couple months, we've started using this term once again. And I'm sure some people had no idea what we were talking about.
Plumber's crack?
No, not plumber's crack.
Oh, okay. That one's still not available to us?
No, it is not.
Okay.
But we started using it again recently. And All of a sudden, out of nowhere, our prayers have been answered. Because our Lord and Savior, Sarah Baron Cohen, is releasing Borat, the gift of pornographic monkey to Vice Premier Mikhail Pence to make benefit recently diminished Nation of Kazakhstan trailer. And I'm very excited.
Give me anything with Sacha Baron Cohen, and I'm all about. I will support any character he wants to go into.
Even Bruno?
Oh, hell yeah. I love Bruno. He was awesome.
He's all right.
No, he was pretty good. Come on now.
Ali G was my favorite.
Sure, but you could put Bruno in today's society. Oh my God. Grand slam. Home run.
Oh, for sure. Dude, let me tell you.
So sensitive.
Ali G in the Hood was one of the first TV shows that I pirated.
Oh.
And I can say that because the Statue of Limitations is up. That's been like 20 years ago. But I remember seeing a clip of it somewhere. I think it was on like one of the night shows, right?
Where
they interviewed him, and he was in character being interviewed.
Sure.
And I was like, this is fucking hilarious. I got to see this. And there was no YouTube back then.
Right.
So I had to get on Napster and pirate freaking the BBC Ali G in the House series, which was hilarious. And then when they brought it over to the U.S., I was so thrilled.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, so I'm a Sacha Baron Cohen hipster.
But don't you think it sort of stinks for him because he had such a small footprint, but now with social media and I'm sure his popularity, I'm sure people still watch his stuff. How can he pull off any of his characters now? I'm shocked that Borat's back.
That's true.
I mean, he had to go to the deep south to be able to pull out Borat. And how soon, like, how long ago do you think this was recorded? Because there's part of the trailer that he's talking about quarantine.
Yeah.
So it's like, shoot, was he shooting this like 6 months ago?
Yeah.
It's nuts. Just nuts.
Yeah, it's pretty recent. Because I read an article from September that they had just finished wrapping up filming.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks really good. The only thing that, of course, this is just the trailer. The only thing that I was like, oh boy, was the daughter.
Hey.
But you know what? It's Sacha Baron Cohen. So at this point, it's like, I'll put faith in him. I have no problem putting faith in him. That he picked the right people for this.
Yeah, yeah. She looks pretty funny. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
But
I even went to go see Borat in the theater, my friend. That's how much I enjoy Sacha Baron Cohen.
I might have too. I remember buying the DVD for sure.
But don't you remember? Like he was like water cooler talk. Like, did you see?
Oh yeah.
His appearance, like he just crashed whatever it was. The E, like red carpet with E for the Oscars. He just crashed right in and just started, and he took over the place for 4 minutes. It's just like, oh, I wish I could have saw that. Dang. And now with social media, of course you can watch anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was appointment TV. And especially when you missed it, it's like, dang it. Why wasn't I watching that?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. It looks good.
Yeah. We'll see. I think it's an Amazon production.
and it's on Amazon
Prime. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Next month.
Nice. Very nice. It's
only on Amazon.
Very nice. How so much?
We have to kick up our SEO titles and meta tags and keywords.
That's true.
I mean, he's upped his game. Now it's time for us to up our game.
I love this IGN article that I saw about the trailer. It ends with this phrase. Here's to hoping there's some new lines to quote so people can finally stop yelling, "My wife!" in 2020.
I'll say amen to that. Why not?
See, that's how you know it's good, dude. The movie's like 15 years old and we still say it.
I know.
So too good.
So good.
Maybe now we'll have my daughter.
Now I'm going to have to just go onto YouTube and really go down that rabbit hole before the movie comes out.
Oh, buddy.
What the heck? Because I'm sure there's performances, especially over in Great Britain, that I've never seen.
Oh, sure. Did you ever see the Ali G show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
for
my
sure.
God, dude. That shit was hysterical.
Both versions were great.
There was a movie, too. The movie was fine, but it wasn't the same as the show.
No.
The show was way better.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you learned with Borat, like, I should just do my thing, not what Hollywood wants me to do with this character.
You don't
need to put a fake story around it.
Yep, that's true.
But then don't you feel like you might be suckered in every once in a while? Like, are these actors that he's pulling up next to? Like, and if they are, I don't want to know that he's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope it's just dumb Americans.
This is true. So I got to tell you, this is a very exciting time of the year.
Ooh, happy Halloween.
It's today is a full moon.
Oh.
I don't know if you looked outside. It is a blood moon, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
It is gigantic.
Sure.
I just dropped Zoe off from soccer practice, and I was nearly blinded turning a corner.
Ooh.
Because it was so huge. It's also a Jupiter-Mars or a Jupiter-Saturn conjunction.
Mm.
So you can look up in the sky and you see them right next to each other. It's very cool. If you have a Skywatcher app, you know other stuff about that too, like Pluto's right in the middle right now. Last week it was the moon, now it's Pluto. Mm. And also it's the best month of the year. It's freaking Halloween-y month, baby. Where's my bell?
That's true.
There it is. I found it.
That's
I gotta
true.
Put it back down here. There it is.
Are you watching a horror film a day and leading up to Halloween?
You are correct, my friend. On my other podcast, The Alchemical Mind, available on all podcast platforms, one of my listeners recommended I watch something, so I'm gonna check that out tonight. It is called. Oh man, I gotta find it. It sounded awesome.
Oh.
It was like a new take on vampire movies. Hang on. That Twitter account is on fire. It's hard to keep track.
Of course.
Man, I can't find it. But anyways, it's like a romance story with vampires, except not Twilight.
Oh, they're sparkly vampires?
There's not sparkly vampires. Ah, here it is.
Hmm.
Recommend the viewing, since you mentioned zombie movies, Only Lovers Left Behind, or Only Lovers Left Alive.
Oh.
It is a romantic vampire story that takes a lot of turns in the best way, making the viewer rethink what it means to be mortal and to be born with the gifts. Oh, boy.
All right. Where can you find that?
I don't know, and it looks like Tilda Swinton.
You don't know what streaming service that's on?
I mean, somebody recommended it, so I'm going to rent it wherever it is.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I want the information.
Only Lovers Left Alive streaming. Is there even like a place to look this up anymore? Because that website I used to use doesn't work anymore. It's on Stars.
Ah. Okay.
Oh my God! What a cast. Are you ready for this cast?
Sure.
Tilda Swinton.
Okay, you were right there.
Tom Hiddleston.
Ooh.
John Hurt. Rest in peace.
Wow. Holy mackerel.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Very interesting.
That sounds good.
All right. I'm going to check this out. Only Loves Lost Alive. I hope. I mean, the description he gave me sounds much more horror-y than the description on Amazon's website.
Uh-oh.
But we'll find out.
Hmm.
Last night we did watch, because look, Reagan's been on this kick of animated movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, now that she's almost an adult, she's got like a year left, a year and a week left to be an adult.
Uh-oh.
Okay? She's about to be 17 next week. Now that she's almost an adult, all she watches is animated movies.
Dang.
Like literally nothing else. So every night...
When does she turn 17?
October 9th.
So can she vote?
No, it's 18 to vote, right?
I thought it was 17.
I thought it was 18.
Okay, 18. All right.
I mean,
I know the strip club's 18.
Well, for sure.
But I didn't know about voting.
And that's probably about it. Because, like, you even have to be 21 to smoke now.
Dang it.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, so now that she's almost an adult, all she watches is animated movies. And my wife and I are sick of it.
What type of, like, anime? Or
no, like Disney and Pixar and stuff like that.
Ah, she's reliving her childhood.
I guess. So she watched, like, Frozen 2, like, for a week back-to-back. And what else has she watched? Like, Inside Out, we watched this past week. Toy Story 3, like, all kinds of just animated.
Oof.
And so yesterday we're getting ready to sit down and eat dinner.
Uh-huh.
And I made burritos. They were delicious.
Nice.
Theirs had chicken. Mine did not.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so we sit down to eat dinner. And she's like, let's watch a movie. And immediately my wife and I said, no! We picked a movie tonight. And Reagan goes, well, you guys always pick boring movies. Which, of course, boring movies to her are... movies in which action actually takes place, because Paranormal Activity is a favorite movie. So she made some joke about Seven because she thinks Seven is terrible, and my wife almost choked her to death.
Yeah, too slow.
And so I said, well, Halloween starts like tomorrow or tonight at midnight. We need to start watching horror movies because we got to watch a horror movie every day until Halloween.
Mm.
And so they're like, yeah, but Mama picks boring movie, blah, blah, blah. And she, of course, makes a joke about either Paranormal Activity or Final Destination. So I was like, why don't we watch a horror classic?
Mm-hmm.
There's a new horror series coming out next week, The Haunting on Bly Manor. I don't know if you saw the trailer for it. Nick, do not watch the trailer for it. It will make you scared.
Thank you. Good, good. Thank you.
It is the sequel to a fantastic series, horror series from last year on Netflix, The Haunting on Hill House.
Mm.
But it's like American Horror Story, right? So it's not related to the first season.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think it's different actors too. Anyway, so The Haunting on Bly Manor comes out next week. It is based on one of my favorite books, The Turning of the Shrew by Henry James. And so I said, let's watch a horror classic to prepare for The Haunting on Bly Manor. And so we watched Nicole Kidman in The Others last night.
Mm.
Also based on The Turning of the Shrew. Have you ever seen The Others?
No.
It's fantastic. And let me tell you.
I know the soundtrack and I know the poster.
Ah, okay. Very good. So you should watch it. It is a horror movie, but it's like a real horror movie.
Hmm.
Or like, there's no like jump scares or anything like that. It's just like tension.
No, don't like that. And that's then the worst part of horror films.
And then a twist. That's the best part. That's what makes a horror film horror.
The worst part. The worst.
And then there's a twist at the end. A la, like M. Night Shyamalan.
So it's Aliens.
It's not Aliens.
Oh.
I know, I know, I know. George Tsoukalos is very disappointed that it's not Aliens. I have been watching Ancient Aliens Season 3 because it's on Netflix right now.
Wow.
That show's hilarious. I don't buy anything that they say on that show, but I love watching it purely for entertainment value.
Sure, sure.
Anyways, no, it's not Aliens, but there is a twist.
So did you watch this with the daughter?
Yes, we all watched it together. And even Reagan loved it.
Wow.
Yes. It's amazing.
So it's a faster pace than 7?
No, it's very slow.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it's very slow. And it's like a period piece, too, because it takes place in the 40s.
Well, what kept her engaged with this that 7 didn't keep her engaged?
The tension, man. It's suspense.
Oh, okay. All right.
Seven has a lot of, like, let's just hang out here and see, like, if we can figure out who the killer is.
Yeah.
In the police department doing
procedural
nothing.
Procedural stuff and character development. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This doesn't have that. And you know, a large chunk of the movie is really just three people, Nicole Kidman and her two kids, until, like, the help shows up. These three people that, like, answer an ad for help because the help has disappeared overnight.
Are the help aliens?
The help are not aliens.
Dang it.
Nick, I said this is a classic horror movie. This is, like, real gothic horror.
Mm.
Not this garbage that they put out now.
Mm. I watched a gothic horror thing that actually scared me.
Did you? What'd you watch?
A documentary that's called Master of Dark Shadows, based on the gothic horror romance series by the same name, Dark Shadows.
I figured.
Yes. It was on Amazon.
That is on my list of things to watch this month. Is Dark Shadows.
It's crazy fun.
Yeah, it's very good.
Really, yeah, it's a fun soap opera, and the documentary goes into that quite a bit. And that's about the level of horror that I can handle. So I'll take that.
So I have been told that I should put Twin Peaks on my horror watching list.
Really?
Yes, that's what I thought.
I watched Twin Peaks. I would not say that that's horror.
So I did a little bit of research.
Okay.
And I think there are things on there that I could see why someone would recommend it to me as a horror thing. But it seems to be more like a mystical thing than a horror thing to me.
I would say it's more of a murder mystery than anything.
Mm.
Murder mystery from Mr. David Lynch, which... you can sort of expect anything to happen at that point.
Well, that's true.
But watching the one guy talk backwards while moving forward, still very creepy.
All right, maybe I'll hold off on Twin Peaks until after November then. Because there's a lot happening, man. Like, the 100 ends tonight, so that'll be on Netflix in 2 weeks. So I can watch
the
season.
The series or the season?
Series finale.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's the final season.
Wow.
A friend of the show, Ronnie Barron, tweeted it at me. Oh. And, I mean, he likes it as much as I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he's been watching it in real time. I always wait because the CW has so much advertising on their streaming platform that it's just unwatchable.
Yeah, I get it.
You know what I mean? So I just wait because, you know, CW and Netflix have that deal. It's like 2 weeks.
Right.
I can wait 2 more weeks. I didn't even know the season was back.
So you don't mind waiting.
So I don't mind waiting. It's fine.
You're right.
It's totally cool. But I'm excited for that. I'm excited for that. I almost watched the trailer and I was like, no, I can't watch a trailer for the last episode. I haven't watched anything. I'm going to be totally spoiled. So I'm going to wait and be surprised. The last season ended in a cliffhanger. They, like, in the beginning of the season, they left Earth and they found another planet and, like, shit went downhill on the other planet. So I want to know what happens now. Maybe they have to find another planet.
Yeah, you can just wait.
But,
you know what I've noticed, speaking of advertisements?
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching, and I'm sure you've seen on social what I've been watching, series-wise.
Mm-hmm.
It's from FX, but I watch it on Hulu.
Ah.
Hulu has started inserting commercials.
It's so bad.
Right before, like, the show will end, and right before the credits roll, they'll throw a commercial in.
Yep.
So you don't know if that's the ending. So you watch the minute and a half of commercials, which, guess what? Not that big of a deal.
Sure.
But still, then all of a sudden, it comes back, and they go right into commercials, and it's like, mother effer.
Uh-huh.
Like, come on.
Yep.
But what I'm watching is a Blumhouse production. Don't know if you know that.
Never heard of them. Continue.
Yes, you have. But it's not horror. It is true crime. It's that Wilderness of Error.
Ah, yes.
That's on FX about... And I think, you know what? I puzzle pieced all this together. I had on my Sherlock Holmes sleuth hat, and I figured this out this week. You know one of my greatest fears? Home invasion. You know this.
Yep.
We've talked about this multiple times.
That's why you can't watch The Purge.
And that's why I can't watch pretty much any suspense or horror film.
Yeah.
Especially if there's any home invasion angle to it. Oh, hate it. But I... You know what? I followed this back this week because I'm watching Wilderness of Error, and you know how many times on this podcast, as well as directly to you, how many times I've raved about Errol Morris. Mm-hmm. Errol Morris, the author, director. He did Thin Blue Line. He's done so many like documentaries. He even did the one that we both watched about the... What was it? CIA agents in the 50s and 60s?
Yeah.
Remotely transport themselves.
Yep.
And then one of them fell out of a window, got pushed out of a But he does really good. Like, I usually don't like reenactments, but his reenactments are really stylized and really cool. So I'm watching Wilderness of Error. And right off the bat, they go through the whole biography of this case. And like I said, the sleuth hat was on because they said in the 80s, a book came out called Fatal Vision, and NBC made it into a limited series, and they showed scenes from it. And it was like, mother effer, I remember watching that as a young child. And the whole thing was a home invasion happens. This was right around the time of like Manson. Home invasion happens. These hippies break in. This woman walking in with this wide-brimmed white hat, white boots, holding a candle, breaks in the middle of the night, bludgeons the wife, kills the two kids. This colonel sergeant, he tried to rescue him. They wrestled him down, stabbed him multiple times. But like the wife was stabbed like 80 times, and he was stabbed like 6 times.
Mm.
So I remember this as a childhood, from my childhood, and I'm like, I think this was it. This was why I don't, between this and that Audrey Hepburn movie where she played a blind person.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that movie?
No.
Oh, she plays a blind person, and this one guy is breaking into her house late at night, and he keeps calling her on the phone. There was a lot of suspension, but of course it was still home invasion. And I'm just like, mother effer, is this like how this happened? Because I totally remember Fatal Vision. I totally remember watching, and I certainly didn't, I don't think I would have saw Halloween when it first ran.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure my parents rented it, or my mom had it on, you know, cable, and she was like, oh, you should watch this.
Oh, right.
And I think it was just a cornucopia that of events that happened within like a 2-3 year period that completely put me off that type of film.
Hmm.
But I got to say, this Wilderness of Error that I'm watching on Hulu, you can watch it on FX too. It's so good because Errol Morris goes from having you believe the sergeant to the father and mother of the wife that was slain. Like, the military police put him up for trial and found him not guilty for lack of evidence. And they, like, every time they would say, oh, but this happened, and then they disproved like how this happened. Like, they would just disprove everything that was thrown at the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And even her parents came out publicly and they were like, no, a crazy person did this. No, look at all the facts. This backs up the husband. And then the military actually sent the father the complete trial manuscript, and the father saw like inconsistencies. So you just go on this. I mean, I'm only 3 episodes in, You go all on this roller coaster of like, obviously you didn't do it. What the hell's going on? You know, they found this one woman who said she was in the house. Of course it wasn't him. And then all of a sudden the next episode will switch over to the father of the daughter, the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts going through all these inconsistencies and he's like, well, that didn't happen. Well, how could that have happened? And he would call up the military, like investigative force. And they're like, we have to like call the police. We have to have this guy arrested. So he was innocent. Then he moves to California, the husband. And then like 23 years later, they bring him back to trial. And that's what Fatal Vision was based on. I was just like, oh my God, like episode 3 ended. And I was like, cause they just got to the end of the trial and it ended in this place. And every episode has done it where I'm just like, oh, you can't be shitting me. There has to be another episode. Like I so want to binge this damn show, but I can't binge it. But it's really good. Highly recommend Wilderness of Error.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's good. I haven't seen something this good probably since Tiger King, since I've been in quarantine.
Wow, that engaging, huh?
Series wise, yeah, I would even say it's better.
Wow,
it's really good. And I'm really PO'd that I don't have HBO anymore, because I would be watching, what was it, The View, The Visit, what's that that's based on the religious cult?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's based on the cult that brands the women. Remember we talked about...
The Nexium movie.
Yeah, there you go.
What's that called? Hang on. I was going to put that on my list.
Yeah, I sort of want to see...
The Vow.
There you go, The Vow. I knew it was a V. I wanted to watch that, and I was so eager to watch that, but we don't have HBO anymore, which after hearing some of the advanced reviews, I'm like, do I really need to see that?
The review's not good?
It feels like a lot, and I'm sure you could understand this. How are you going to do a balanced documentary on a cult when current cult members, they ain't going to talk to you?
Mm.
So you're talking to ex-cult members or family members of cult members.
Yeah, that's true.
How can you get a fair, balanced documentary that way?
Well, that's probably true of like a lot of topics, though. You know what I mean?
For sure. I mean, even Wilderness of Error. You know, they're not interviewing the husband, even though there are times where he is being interviewed. Like, and he's on, dude, he was on a late night talk show talking to Dick Cavett, and they showed film of it, and it was like there was no remorse in his voice. It was just so crazy to see, like, you're on Dick Cavett? Are you freaking kidding me? Like, oh my God, how could you? Oh, terrible. And he didn't even do the like OJ thing of, well, I gotta get out there and find those killers. I mean, I'm on a golf course right now, but I'm gonna get out there. I gotta find those killers. Like, he didn't even do that. Like, just nuts. Just nuts.
Interesting.
Yes.
But
yeah, I put on my sleuth hat, buddy. I think I figured out why I don't like home invasion. Why that's still, even this week, I went upstairs and my mind played tricks on me. And it might be the comic I'm reading. Who the hell knows? But I'm like, did I hear something? What's going on downstairs? And I actually went downstairs to be like, okay, what's going on down here? Shit, I think that came from Fatal Vision.
Interesting. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, stuff that I would like to see turn into a movie that's, like, true crime-ish that I would enjoy. Because, like, there's plenty of stories like that, you know what I mean? And I always try to get some input from my wife, because she loves true crime.
Sure.
My wife! But, you know, a lot of the stuff that she likes, I don't necessarily like.
Sure.
Right? But I was thinking about this, and there is a story that is perfect for this here podcast, the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore. I don't know if you ever heard of P2.
P2.
P2. Have you ever heard of this?
Mm-mm.
All right, you're going to love this. And tell me this does not sound like a movie that should have been made already and probably remade like a dozen times.
Oh.
Okay. So P2 was a Masonic lodge in Italy. Okay. That had this giant controversy, I think in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken. Pretty sure it was the 80s. They were a Masonic lodge, and you know how people get with Masons, right? Like, they got crazy with conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
But like, this lodge was actually involved in that stuff.
Wow.
So they actually lost their charter to be a Freemason lodge. The Freemasons were like, you guys are too weird. You're not Freemasons anymore. And they took their charter away. Jeez. Anyways, there's like this whole long complicated thing after their charter was revoked, where they basically became involved with the Italian mob in money laundering and bank fraud. And there's like connections to Pope John Paul I, who was Pope for like a month before he died under mysterious circumstances. And it turns out that the only guy that had a key to his room was this guy named Paul Marcinkus, who seems like all right, but he was president of the Vatican Bank. And it turns out that he's involved with P2 and the Italian mob in money laundering through the Vatican.
Huh.
So he may be the one that killed Pope John Paul I. Anyways, there's this whole long, complicated thing. Like, they get investigated by the European authorities. A bunch of people go to jail. Paul Marcinkus goes to jail for like 4 years. He gets out. He moves to Arizona. Obviously, no longer a Catholic priest because he went to jail for bank fraud. Moves to Arizona. He's there for like a month or two, and under mysterious circumstances, ends up being hanged in his home. You need to look this up, dude. Just look up like the P2 money laundering scandal of the 80s. Not as huge here because this happened obviously in Italy, but it was like a big thing, dude.
Huh.
And you know, I like to make fun of some of the conspiracy theories sometimes, but like, some of the shit that people talk about happening in some of these places was actually happening with this group. And it was fascinating. And this is all true story, by the way. This is not, none of this is conspiracy. You can look this up in mainstream news. But, you know,
yeah,
a story...
How is that not a documentary?
Right? How is that, number one, not a documentary? Number two, how is that not, like, a series of movies with, like, Al Pacino in it?
That's true. Very true.
That's, like, his thing. But, yeah, P2 and Paul Marcinkus.
Did you hear, I'm sure you know about this. You might have even talked about it on your other podcast. Did you hear that Jesus got arrested in Russia?
Oh, wait. Is it, what's his name? Antavius something? What's his name?
Sergei Tropo.
Sergei Tropo.
Yeah, he was a cult. I'll just read you from The Guardian. I'll read you the headline. Cult leader who claims to be the reincarnation of Jesus arrested in Russia.
Viserion, that's his name. He goes by Viserion.
Okay, yeah. No, but his real name is Sergei Tropo.
Yeah. No, I didn't hear he got arrested. When was this?
This week.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So good. So
no
fun.
Kidding. Wait, what happened? I want to know.
And he does look, I mean, he certainly, when he dyed his hair, he certainly looks like the standardized white America picture of Jesus. That's the crazy thing.
Well, that's, yes, it's very true.
But he has like thousands of followers. That's the nuts part.
Yeah, there's like a town near the complex where he built that's got thousands of people. They have like a yearly ritual thing where like all these people come from all over the world. To, yep. Like, see him preach, see Viserion come down and preach.
Yeah, he's done this for 3 decades. And
yes.
I did find out why he got arrested. They charged him with organizing an illegal religious organization alleging that the cult extorted money from the followers and subjected them to emotional abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Which I hate to say it. How can you charge him with, like, how did he extort money? Is extorting money like passing around a basket that, people put money into?
All right.
That's not extorting.
Boy, boy, oh boy. This is not a conversation I thought we'd be having on this here podcast.
Hey, when Jesus gets arrested in Siberia, damn it, we're going to talk about it. You rat bastard, it doesn't happen every week, now does it?
That is true. That is very true. By the way, he does not say he's Jesus. Well, I mean, sort of.
Come on. It's 3 decades he's been pulling these shenanigans.
Yes. It's some, like, reincarnation kind of thing, I think.
Right. Maybe he doesn't have to say that, but, you know, come on, he's playing the role.
Sure. If you want to learn more about this guy, Vice has a amazing documentary on him.
There you go. I'll check it out.
So go on Vice's YouTube channel and look up, I don't even know what the title of it is. I'm sure I can look it up real quick. And it's not that long either. It might just be like 30 minutes or something like that. Let me look this up real quick. Vice Vissarion. There we go. Okay, yeah. It's just called Siberian Cult Leader Thinks He's Jesus.
I see a picture of him wearing this red robe.
Uh-huh.
And there are hundreds of people around him. You know what? I'm not going to say I'm Jesus, but if I'm getting that much adoration, I might let people think I'm Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, holy mackerel, is that an ego stroke? Are you kidding me?
Awesome. Oh, sorry, folks. I didn't mean to. You didn't hear that, but other people may have heard it. There's another one. I think this one's in Australia, who also thinks he's Jesus.
So good.
His name is Alan John Miller. And somehow...
Of course, 3 names.
Yes, and he's convinced his wife or girlfriend, whatever, that she's the reincarnation of Mary Magdalene. That one's not on Vice, but look that one up. That one is called For the Love of God, The Man Who Thinks He's Jesus. That's about an hour long. The Vice documentary, Siberian Cult Leader Thinks He's Jesus, that's 25 and a half minutes long. Rob Krieger, that's going to be totally up your alley, bro, because I know Rob loves to get into this cult stuff.
Is he one of the believers?
I think Andrew's more of a UFO guy.
Well, you never know. He might be the reincarnation of Jesus brought down by a UFO. You don't know.
Hey, that's true. Could be.
You don't know.
Let me tell you about Vissarion, though, because I think the reason he got arrested is really interesting.
Oh, good.
Because I have dug into this guy a little bit. So he used to be a cop.
Yes.
And then when the Soviet Union collapsed, he had this revelation that he was like the reincarnation of Jesus, basically, and started this cult.
Sure.
Which, of course, is very convenient because before the fall of the Soviet Union, you couldn't do this because communists don't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And so religion was basically banned. Aside from, you know, like the Russian Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox Church.
Right.
Which there's a reason for that too, because there's this all this stuff is interrelated, Nick. There's this really strong belief among an elite group of Russian aristocrats. I guess not aristocrats because they're not. It's not a monarchy. What do they call them over there? Anyway, it doesn't matter. A bunch of like elites. That many of them grew up in the Eastern Orthodox Church.
Mm-hmm.
That Russia is the heir to the Roman Empire. And this goes back in history because when the Roman Empire split between the East and the West and the Eastern Orthodox Church developed in the East, obviously in Russia, they believed that they held like the true teachings of Christ, whereas the Roman Catholic Church was corrupted by Roman politicians. And so there's this like superiority complex for, you know, 2,000 years now, 1,500 years, as to what Russia's place is in the world. And obviously it's gotten a little more complicated when the Bolsheviks came around and overthrew the Tsar. And then it got more complicated during World War II and even afterwards until the collapse of Russia in the 90s. Well, late 80s into the early 90s. But because all this was happening and Russia was no longer a communist state, and you know, Gorbachev and Yeltsin and those guys were a little more open to capitalism coming in, there was an explosion of cults in Russia in the early 90s.
Nice.
Because now there was the freedom to worship however you wanted. The problem is you have a guy in charge of Russia now who is ex-KGB, and even though he shows this outward appearance to the world that Russia is open to capitalist ideas, it's not entirely true. And a lot of his ideology is directly based on ideology from his time in the KGB, and what that entails.
Mm-hmm.
So I find it interesting that he's getting arrested for basically the reason he started this cult, right? Where now they had freedom to worship, and all of a sudden that's no longer the case. As Russia starts like bringing some of the stuff back in-house, like China's doing. You know, China puts a really good front-facing appearance to the world about what they want to do and, you know, with their economy, mm-hmm. hyper-capitalist. But within the borders of the country, the story is very different. And, of course, there's a million monkeys that believe the crap they see in the news, whether it's, you know, Russia and China are evil because they're not America, go America. Or like, you know, oh yeah, you know, the middle class is doing so much better and everyone's got more money and blah, blah, blah. But then you ignore like the millions of people in concentration camps, both in Russia and in China, and all these other things. So very interesting, this Vissarion thing. I'm going to have to look into that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Yeah, huh. Pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a business opportunity that fell apart. But hey, he had a good run. Three decades? Come on.
Yeah. There's there's a lot that goes on to this. You know what I mean? So I do like a spirituality and religion and philosophy podcast. But I always make sure to say that none of the things that I ever say should be taken as like a truth. You know what I mean? Because I'm just some dude talking, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I think the problem is a lot of these guys that start these cults, maybe they start off that way, but then you get like, you know, 10 people are following them now, 1,000 people are following them now. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, like maybe I am really Jesus. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And you end up forgetting that, like, where this whole thing started. And of course, like, it's very possible that some of these people go into this thing knowing that that's what they want to do, right? Like you cultivate a message in a particular way. There's always going to be some poor sucker somewhere that is going to be willing to be taken advantage of.
Sure. Of course.
And so that goes in very well because, I mean, these people oftentimes, like, they have cool like, I get it, right? Your life sucks and you want somebody to love you and care about you and that like everything's going to be fine and God right. loves you. And when you die, like you can go to heaven and whatever else. And like, that's cool. But the problem is it allows you to be taken advantage of. So one of the things that I try to do on my other show is go over ways of realizing when people are bullshitting you. And when there may be some truth to a message, whatever that message is.
Nice.
Yeah, it's
Did
very
you
interesting.
Hear the Putin story about Robert Kraft?
Oh, this ought to be good.
Did you hear this?
No.
You know Robert Kraft, the yes. owner of the New England Patriots.
Yes.
After they won the Super Bowl, I guess both of them were at some function or organization, party, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Putin asked if he could try on Robert Kraft's new Super Bowl ring. And Robert Kraft said, sure. And he handed over the ring. And I guess Putin tried it on and continued to talk to him for a couple minutes and then walked away and never returned the Super Bowl ring. And Robert Kraft didn't feel like he could go up and ask for it back, so he just ordered another Super Bowl ring.
Are you serious? Is this a true story?
That, hey, I've heard it from two different podcasts. We're talking about it, and both of them seem pretty connected to the Patriots and following everything Patriots. So
this is not like a news podcast. This is like a sports podcast.
Yes, but it seemed legit, though.
This is hilarious.
Yeah, which I don't know if I would ask Putin for something back either.
this is a thing. I'm on CBS sports.com right now. This happened in 2005.
I try not to give you erroneous information, buddy.
Oh my god, this is hilarious. The Isn't White House in 2005, at the urging of the White House, Kraft said the ring had been a gift to Putin.
Oopsie.
Oh my god,
come on. Do you really, if you tried on a big honking ring that's heavy as hell, covers an entire digit of one of your fingers, do you think you'd accidentally forget that it's on your hand and walk away? Come on,
listen,
he just wanted a damn ring.
Putin is one of those guys. I'm going to talk about him very nicely on this podcast because I don't want to be executed. Putin's one of those guys that does whatever the hell he wants.
Yes.
And there may be a reason for that. I'm sure there is. Number one, he's one of the richest men in the world. He's worth tens of billions of dollars of his own personal wealth. How he acquired that wealth, I don't want to discuss because, like I said, I enjoy my little place in life. But he's a very smart guy, and he, because he grew up in this KGB culture, he works like a spy, and he does these intimidation tactics. Like I heard a story when they were doing, I guess like one of the G7 summits, he showed up and, I don't know if he gifted it or just brought it with him. This like, it was like a bull mastiff or a Doberman or something, because, let me make sure I get this right. Is it Angela Merkel? Because I got this wrong last time. The Prime Minister of Germany, not the lady that's married to the Prince of England. Anyways, the Prime Minister of Germany is deathly afraid of dogs. And Putin like brought this giant dog to a meeting and like gifted it to her.
Oh, boy.
And you're telling me he doesn't know? Of course he knows!
Of course he does. I mean, he's scrappy. He's a badass mother effer.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't mess with him.
I mean, you gotta be. You know what I mean? Like, think about, like, Russian culture and the way that they're, like, that place has been for, you know, 150 years. Like, if you're not that way, it's like a kill or be killed kind of thing. You know what I mean? And to be the guy that leads that place... And leads it for how many years has been there now? Like 12 years, 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
Always winning by unanimous decision, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy.
You ain't taking any ass from anyone. Come on.
Well, sure. Which I got to say, props to the guy running against him in the election that mysteriously was poisoned. he's finally out of the hospital, and he's saying that Putin poisoned him. The balls on that guy.
What?
Yeah, that guy's got balls. You know what I mean? Like, he got poisoned, survived, and now he's telling everybody, this mother effer poisoned me. That's balls. That guy is going to go to the gulag.
I was going to say, I'm surprised he didn't go on a vacation, with air quotes.
Ah, yes. The vacation.
Yes. He had to go on a walkabout.
Yes. Yeah, I saw a video about that recently. I was watching, like, True Crime Mysteries, something or other, on YouTube. And there was this, this guy that was, like, the Ukrainian idol, basically, right? Like, a super popular singer in the Ukraine. And came out as gay. And then, like, a few months later, disappears.
Hmm.
And, like, no one knows where the hell he's at.
What?
And some people are, like, they're thinking that they put him in a concentration camp, including his family saying this.
Mm.
Because they don't they don't accept homosexuality over there. They put him in jail. And so they're like, they put him in a concentration camp. And all of a sudden, like the week after his family says that, a video shows up on this guy's YouTube channel, okay, on the singer's YouTube channel, that he left Ukraine and he's been living in Germany for months. And this is like this whole thing where he's like singing and dancing and doing all this stuff. But one of the videos that I watched on this particular guy talk about like all the things that don't make sense. Because, like, the date on the video doesn't match, like, what he's talking about during the video. There's, like, a drink on the table that's only sold in the Ukraine. So how could he get it if he's in Germany? And, like, all this stuff. So there was, like, that video and then another one a couple weeks later that came out, which also has a lot of weird stuff in it. And then, like, that's it. No more uploads ever since. And so the reasoning is like this guy actually was arrested, put in a concentration camp, and in order to like appease people and not make them think they're putting people in concentration camps, they made him basically film this thing saying that he was fine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
And is this still an unsolved mystery?
Yes.
Or is there some end to it?
No, this is it.
Jesus H.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? Stuff like that still goes on in today's world.
Ah, yes. Yep.
Wow, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Just crazy.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into any of that stuff. I love that
it appears on his Facebook page. That's so good.
Right?
Instead of just a random video popping up on somebody's Twitter feed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
God, that's good.
Yep. Well, this kind of shit happens, man. I mean, I'm not saying we have, like, a utopian society here. Obviously, we have our problems, too. But to me, the bigger problem is that we ignore some of this other stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
We're the world police department, but yet we really aren't. We'll bury our head in the sand.
Yeah. My faith in a lot of this stuff kind of went away when I learned about Japanese concentration camps in the U.S. So I'm like, oh, so we go to Germany to free people from concentration camps, and then we set up our own concentration camps. Yeah, that makes sense. Makes total sense.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Every time I hear George Takei talking on Stern, and that's like one of the few places like Stern will just go into that in depth, his time in the concentration camps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just frightening. Every time he like talks about it, it's just like he just peels back another layer to that onion. Holy mackerel.
Mm-hmm.
Frightening.
Yes. Yeah, and he's one of the only people. I mean, I guess there weren't that many Japanese Americans in like film and TV back then anyway, right?
Yeah, so, but I mean, he was a young child.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But you don't hear a lot of talk about that from anybody.
No, that's why, what was it? What was that show? Prince in the High Castle? What is that?
Man in the High Castle?
Yeah, Man in the High Castle. That's why, like, that concept, I'm like, yeah, that happened. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no surprise there.
Yeah.
It's not as alt history as you think.
Yep. No, that's true. I would posit that some of that stuff is very real.
Mm-hmm.
We'll leave that with that.
Fascinating part of our life, that's for sure.
Yes. If anyone wants to do their own research on what I'm implying, look up things like Operation Paperclip.
George Takei also put out a graphic novel.
Oh, did he? Autobiographical?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no yeah. Shit.
Yep.
Oh, let me find that. That sounds awesome. Do you know what it's called?
No.
Mm-mm. All right, I'll find it.
Used to know, but now I don't. It was put out by a pretty decent publisher, too.
They Called Us Enemy.
There you go. Who put it out?
It was published by... why is that information not just, like, at the top here?
Yeah, weird. But it's been getting a lot of awards, too.
Oh, IDW put it out.
There you go. I thought it was IDW or Dark Horse. I couldn't remember.
Yep. It won Eisner Award, Asia Pacific American Award for Young Adult Literature, American Book Award, National Cartoonist Society Graphic Novel Award.
There you go. Look at us talking about comics. Who would have thought?
Very cool. This reminds me of Mouse. Did you ever read Mouse?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, we had to read that in school, actually.
Nice.
That was one of the few graphic novels we did in school. Mouse was one and Watchmen was the other.
Ooh, nice.
Yes, this was, I want to see, junior or senior year in high school.
Nice.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm going to get this. I like it. I think it's cool. This is like an underserved demographic, I would say, right? That's why movies like Crazy Rich Asians do so well, because there's not like a lot of movies discussing that culture.
Mm-hmm.
In mainstream, so that's cool. There's a new movie actually that I saw the trailer for. It's totally not my alley, so I'm probably never gonna see it. Maybe at some point I'll rent it and watch it. But I wish I remembered his name. I don't. Steven Yeun, I think is his name. The guy that played Glenn in Walking Dead, the Asian guy.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. He left to do film, and his latest movie is a movie about a Korean family moving from Korea to the Midwest to like find the American dream and become farmers there, and like how shit kind of goes downhill. So they deal with like racism and marital problems and money problems, and then obviously like the culture clash, because you know they have a little boy, and there's a lot of stuff that's like endemic to the culture of Koreans that doesn't mesh with American ideals. So for example, at one point they bring the little boy's grandma over from Korea, and the tradition there is that the grandparents sleep in the same room as the kids. And the kid's like, I'm an American boy. Grandmas don't sleep in the room with the kids. And so like things like that, right? And it comes up as a little humorous because it's this little kid saying it. But it kind of gives you the idea of like what's going on. And I wish I remember the name of the movie, but I don't. I apologize. I'll look it up.
I want to hear about the other book that you were talking about. That, what was it? Operation Matchstick?
Okay, this is called Minari. The name of this movie, yes. It's an indie film. I think it won like the Sundance Award or whatever.
Okay.
So I'm sure it'll show up on Amazon or Netflix or something.
Sure.
Because they like to buy those. You saying what? Operation Paperclip?
Paperclip, yeah.
Yeah, Operation Paperclip was basically the start of the Cold War, really. It's when countries were fighting to bring in Nazi engineers and scientists into their own country to get Nazi technology.
Hmm.
Yes. Because, the Nazis invaded modern rocketry.
Yes.
And if it were not for Nazi technology, there would not have been a NASA, and there would have been no moon landing. The guy that was running NASA when the moon landing happened was the guy that invented the... rockets for the Nazi Party in World War II.
Interesting.
Yes. And this is all factual history, by the way. This is not, again, not a conspiracy thing. Operation Paperclip. It was top secret and denied until I think the 80s or 90s.
Hmm.
And a lot of the stuff is still classified because I guess there's still like some people still alive today. But yeah, you can go down a gazillion rabbit holes with Operation Paperclip. Russia bought a bunch of people. Even Perón, the guy that was running Argentina, he had some Nazi scientists go over there and work for him.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and I think we've talked about this maybe. That area has a big Nazi concentration. Chile, Uruguay, and Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I mean, I know Argentina and Chile have them, and we had them in Uruguay. There's like a town in each of these countries called Colonia, which means the colony. And that's, if you want to go and see blonde, blue-eyed people, that's where you go. In all three countries. In fact, there's actually a documentary on one group that was in Chile, because when the military coup happened there in the 70s, the guy that was running the country, and I can't remember his name, because like most of South America had military coups in the 70s or 80s. But there was a guy running Chile at the time, and they had concentration camps where they would send like people that didn't agree with the government. And for some people, they would actually send to this one guy who was a Nazi refugee, had set up a cult in the Andes Mountains, and the military would send dissidents there, and they would kill them for the military and make the bodies disappear. Yeah. Because, like, yeah, this is still while the coup is fairly new, and so they want to hide some of this stuff, and what better way to do it than to be like, hey, you guys were Nazis. You want to stay here? You got to kill these guys and make them disappear. And they're like, all right.
That we can do.
Yeah, yeah. That story of that guy's really interesting, though, because he was a Catholic priest, and then became involved in the Nazi Party. He had to flee because he was a pedophile. And so he went through
he's hitting the trifecta of,
A Nazi pedophile. Yeah.
A priest Nazi pedophile right there. Boom, boom, boom.
Who then became a cult leader.
Wow. Holy mackerel.
Yeah. So he ended up having to leave, and took some of the people that like were in his parish with him, like 10 people left with him. And they like roamed around Europe for a couple of years and would have to leave because he was a pedophile. So they would kick him out. And then ended up getting refuge, or amnesty, whatever it is, in Chile, because he had Nazi connections. And like I said, they were trying to get Nazis into like everywhere, cause Nazi had good technology. So they got refuge there, and like, he started this like cult that was somewhat similar to the Amish. Like, I think the cult was actually around till maybe the late 80s. I don't know what happened after that. There might be some people around still. But yeah, they had like a commune in the Andes Mountains in Chile, and they were all German, blue-eyed, blonde hair. Blue-eyed. Yeah, that's right. they spoke German only. Right, just like the Amish. The Amish still speak like a variation of Dutch. And they dress very plainly and all that stuff. Same kind of deal. But yeah, it was a Christian cult from an ex-Nazi Catholic priest / pedophile.
Jesus.
That dude was a real winner.
Wow, yeah.
Oh, man.
That's just crazy.
Yes. Yes. The stories that you start learning about when you become curious.
Yeah, they're out there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you just accidentally stumble upon. It's like, ooh.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Out there.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I had one of those moments this morning. Actually, I had it a couple days ago. I found this book, and I was like, holy shit. And then I watched this documentary this morning. I don't want to talk about it because it's irrelevant to the podcast. But it tied into the book that I was just reading and some thoughts that I had yesterday while I was in the woods, staring at the sky. And I was like, holy shit, like this is some synchronicity. That one was not bad though. Like that one was very innocuous. You know, what's that line? You've seen The Matrix. You know, when Cypher's like, it's like, I just want to go back to The Matrix so I can eat some steak. He's like, I wish I never knew any of this stuff was real, right? Like, yeah. I was perfectly happy being an idiot in The Matrix.
Right.
It's like that, man. Like, sometimes I'm like, man, I wish, like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, instead of being like, oh, I should like start becoming more educated on how the world works. If instead of doing that, I would just like kept on being an idiot and just watched like reruns of Family Guy all the time. You know what I mean?
You just wish you weren't, you didn't become enlightened.
Yeah. Cause now I'm just like, well, shit, like once you open the door, you can't go back through it. You know what I mean? It's locked on the other side.
Oh yeah. You can't jump back.
Mm-hmm. World's a crazy place.
I was on CBS All Access. I was watching Console Wars, that documentary, Sega versus Nintendo America, which is highly recommended, thoroughly entertaining. And it's produced by Seth Rogen and his production partner, who also did, what was it, Preacher and The Boys, I want to say?
Yes.
Yeah, their production house. So it has a lot of style. It is not slow moving. It is not boring whatsoever, but it's on CBS All Access. So if you're looking for something, highly recommend.
Excuse me. On what?
CBS All Access.
Never heard of it. Continue.
Okay. Well, if you're looking for something, the listeners get in there. Console Wars. Shockingly, but not surprisingly would be more accurate. Mm-hmm. Does CBS All Access promote that anywhere on their app? Nope. Even though it just came out the day before. And the only reason I found out about it was from a podcast, not from CBS All Access.
You want to hear a weird story? How many episodes is this?
259, something like that.
Oh, so it's just a documentary.
Yeah, this was just a documentary.
Oh, okay, but okay.
The thing I wanted to tell you before watching that, and this more goes to your wife than you. CBS is putting on, maybe on their regular channel, I'm not sure, but it also said it's a limited time event for CBS All Access. In December, they're going to be doing a multi-part stand redo.
Oh, interesting. I'm sure she knows about it.
I would hope, but you can let her know, because some of the cast is pretty good casting. It looks interesting. And Heather Graham's in it, so meow.
Nice. Weird synchronicity. So Console Wars is based on a book.
Uh-huh.
I love the book. I read it when it came out.
Uh-huh.
How's this for a weird synchronicity? When the book came out, I read it. I tweeted about it. The author got in touch with me, and we were chatting. And at one point, I was actually going to have him on this podcast to talk about Console Wars with him.
Oh, man.
How weird is that?
That's pretty awesome. And now there's no way he's returning your phone call.
I don't know, man. He seems like a cool guy. He's got other books too. I can't remember what the other one that he did was similar. And then he wanted to do one on Xbox and PlayStation too. Console Wars is awesome, man. It's about Nintendo versus Sega, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And
I hate to say it, even 2/3 of the way through the film, I kept thinking to myself, well, I had two thoughts pop into my head during it. One was, I was totally a Sega marketer's dream. Because I got a Sega Genesis strictly on their ad campaigns.
Yeah.
That Sega is this outlaw console. It's made for more mature audiences. Where that Nintendo console, that's for little babies.
Yep.
Don't get that. And, I fell for it, dude. I even told my wife, I'm like, I completely fell for their marketing campaign. That was so freaking brilliant. And then my second thought was, and this happened 2/3 of the, honestly, 2/3 of the way through the film. I kept, because I know what happens. I follow video games pretty well.
Yeah.
So I know who comes out in the end. But 2/3 of the way through, I'm like, how did Sega fuck this up? Because at this point, it's like, man, they are just making Nintendo eat their shit.
Yep.
And I'm like, how did this happen? How did this go bad? How did this? And then all of a sudden, two-thirds of the way through the film, you start seeing, like, Japan doesn't really like what these U.S. people are doing. They mm-hmm. don't, let's not agree to have them do X, Y, Z. And then when America, the American division, asks for this new chip to be put into their new console, let's you know, push that off. Let's forget about that. Let's try to develop something in-house. And, like, they were slowly stonewalled by mm-hmm. Japan, because Japan didn't want the American division to, like, look better than them. And then all of a sudden, like, all this stuff started to happen. And I looked over at Julie, the cruise director, and I'm like, oh, my God, now I totally remember why Sega fell apart. They started to put out all of these mini systems. All the mini systems had add-ons. And then the games completely became way too overpriced.
Yep.
And Nintendo just kept plowing away.
Yep. It's yeah, like, I remember.
And then to see everything happen and to see all the old commercials along with it, I was like, holy Christ, that's why I stopped at Genesis. Because they did all these, like, half steps instead of doing these, like, giant leaps forward. They were all these half steps that were way too expensive to follow.
You did miss out on the Dreamcast, though. There was an awesome fighting game in the Dreamcast.
I had plenty of friends that had the Dreamcast. Okay, so good. I did enjoy the Dreamcast and Panzer Dragoon. Don't worry about it.
Well, Panzer Dragoon was the bomb. I was talking about, what was it called? Like, Gem Fighters or something like that? I can't remember exactly what it was.
Primal Rage?
No. It was a fighting game, but it was a little more cartoony, like in the style of like a much later Street Fighter, for example. Mm. It was a fighter, but the levels were 3D. And not 3D like they were doing with Mortal Kombat, where you can like break through the side walls or like go through the floor. Like, you could actually move within the level in 3D.
Are you thinking Power Stone?
Power Stone.
Yeah, that's classic.
Yeah.
That's classic. Even though, like, a lot of people liked Virtua Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom, but...
Oh, that...
Street Fighter. I like Power Stone.
Did you see the teaser?
For what?
The new Virtua Fighter?
Yes, I did.
I'm probably not going to get it because, number one, PCs are better at gaming than consoles are. Wait.
Can I ask you, now this brings up a great question.
Yeah.
Martin.
Hey.
When are you going to throw that PC right into the garbage? Now that Microsoft owns Bethesda.
Mm.
Are you just going to upgrade your phone to be able to do your little card game
shenanigans? That means nothing to me.
That PC goes right into the garbage?
That means nothing to me.
Come on. That was pretty shocking. That was pretty shocking. That's a big, well, let's put it this way. You don't think any of that stuff's going to come out on PC? Stop the madness.
Dude, you can get Halo on the PC, of course.
I'm just saying, that's a big ballsy move.
Yeah.
If you want to write a book about Microsoft versus Sony, this is the game changer right here.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about this, man.
Pretty big. Don't get me wrong. Sony has a lot of like in-house companies that do fantastic work, but that's pretty. That is a line in the sand. That's why I couldn't wait to talk to you. I'm like, oh, Martin's got to be like, what the hell just happened there? Bethesda? What?
No, so I mean, I was not surprised because Microsoft is on a buying spree lately.
For a lot of small companies, this was pretty big. Like, well, that's honestly. True. When I heard the rumor about them buying Sega, I would believe that over Bethesda.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yep. For anyone that doesn't play games, I'm sure at least at some point you played some kind of game. Bethesda owns like Doom and Quake, Wolfenstein, Elder Scrolls, like really big Fallout, really Starcraft. Big franchises. Yeah, StarCraft. No, not StarCraft.
Don't they own StarCraft?
You might be right. No, Blizzard owns StarCraft.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I hate to say it, I interchange those two companies all the time.
Oof. Well, I mean, Blizzard's got their own problems right now, so.
For sure. Yeah, that's still pretty big, because there's a big sect of people that love RPGs.
Yes.
And who's to say? I was listening to a podcast, and I thought this was interesting, that they proposed, what if they still want to make money? They want to recoup their investments buying Bethesda. Totally understandable. Mm-hmm. But who's to say that the Bethesda games won't be free on Xbox? And they're available for Sony, but there you have to pay money. You know, like, I could see a lot of people who are into RPGs just being like, well, I could just buy an Xbox.
That's true. But from my understanding, this next batch of games, that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The question becomes, like, what about 5 years down the line?
Right. Right, right, right.
But at least for now, that's not really a concern, I don't think. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not... Here's the thing. Video games are like other forms of modern entertainment, like TV and movies. They're mm-hmm. extremely expensive to make.
Oh, sure.
Right? It costcosts millions and millions of dollars to create a AAA game. And you have to have the backing. And there's very few companies that have the backing. That's why you get big, gigantic companies buying everything out, like EA, for example. The problem is, like, by doing that, they end up killing what gamers like, which is, like, this creative, independent spirit. Because, sure. I mean, it's a business. Dude, you see this in comics all the time. I just had Matt Klein on from Valiant, on Valiant Central, mm-hmm. and we kind of alluded to some of this stuff. Obviously, I can't, like, ask certain specifics because he actually works for one of these companies.
Right.
But, like, you see this kind of thing all the time, right? Like, I mean, Valiant's a prime example because Valiant fans are very hardcore about it, but this is true for, like, any publisher, right? Like, you have that for Marvel and DC. Uh-huh. And then you have it for, like, particular characters like Batman or Moon Knight or X-Men or anything like that, where, you know, people want, like, a certain thing to happen, right? And I would say a vast majority are perfectly happy if that includes just, like, repackaging things, right? Like, one of the arguments that people brought up against me when I was talking about the Tom King Batman run is that I wasn't happy with this run because he's doing something different. And, of course, my counter-argument is that's not it at all, because you always have new writers coming on and new artists doing different things. I don't like it because it's bad, because mm-hmm. it's boring, because nothing happens, because it's not a Batman story. Like, it works for some characters and it doesn't work for others. Right?
Sure.
Like, when he did Mr. Miracle, that book was good. When he did Vision, that book was good. I had no complaints.
Mm-hmm.
Because those things work there. But they just didn't work in Batman. For me, at least. And some people loved it, and that's fine. Yeah. But you get this, like, all over the place. And so, when things get done differently, people start bitching and complaining about, this is not the blah, 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 the such and such that I grew up with. Well, yeah, right. It doesn't have to be. It shouldn't be. And you always forget, these are businesses. It's not a fucking charity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You want your own perfect Batman story? Go write it yourself. DC may never publish it, but then at least, like, you'll have your perfect Batman story. Cool.
Well, whenever I hear that type of logic in my head, I'm always like, just go back and read 90s issues of Spider-Man. If that's what you want, like, go and read it. It's sure. there.
Some of these books have hundreds of issues already. Just go find something else.
Yeah, because I hate to say it, like, people complaining about Dr. Ock going into the body of Peter Parker.
Oh, I like that.
People were complaining. Yeah, but they complained all the way through that run.
I know.
But I hate to say it, I guarantee you that there's a sect of audience out there. Just like people hate Jar Jar Binks, I guarantee you there's a sect of audience that grew up with Jar Jar Binks, grew up with Doc Ock, and they're like, no, that's sort of my Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, you see this with Flash, right? With, like, Wally and those guys. Yeah. Wally or Barry. Like, who's better? Like, well, it's whatever Flash, like, you grew up with. That's who you like better.
Go read Barry. go read issues of Barry. They're still there for you. Don't worry about it.
Yep. That was the thing with Kyle, right? With the Green Lantern.
For sure.
And like, I was not in that group, but like, Kyle was my Green Lantern. And when that was no longer the case, I was like, well, all right, I guess we'll try this new guy. You know what I mean? But a lot of people were like, well, what the hell?
Yeah, see, mine was always Hal, but I never read, other than group books, I never read Green Lantern. So the first Green Lantern book I read, one of my buddies borrowed me the entire Kyle run.
Yeah.
So that really became my Green Lantern. Yeah, I love that character. So, yeah, I see it. I get it. I understand it.
Yeah, but still, you know what I mean? Like, it's a fucking video game, dude. It's a comic book.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
You know, it's a TV show or a movie or whatever.
Can I give you a little before we jump off video games?
No, go for it.
This is the sad Nick moment.
Uh-oh. Where's my violin?
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
The sad Nick moment. I have to drop Ghosts of Tsushima.
Oh no, what happened?
This game is broke up into thirds. I don't know how much you follow Ghosts of Tsushima.
I have not.
It's broken up into thirds. It's from Sucker Punch, the people that brought you Infamous and Sly Cooper. Two games I freaking love.
Yes.
And Feudal Japan, sign me up. Little mystical stuff, samurai showdowns, sign me up.
Yes.
I'm all about it. It's, the game looks great. Plays great. Did I hope that it was more Assassin's Creed in Feudal Japan? Yes. The game is broken up into thirds. I got through the first third. I'm working my way through the second third. And I just sort of realized to myself, my OCD brain that won't let any icon on that map just sit there. Even though I know just by looking at that icon, that symbol of that icon, I don't need to go over there. What's going to be over there? 15 points of experience? I don't need that right now. I'm way too overpowered as it is. But can I just mainline through the story? That ain't how this brain works. I'm like I said, OCD. Every icon needs to be wiped off that map. I got through the first third. And it ends on like a big story point. So that's how you know like the first third's done.
Sure.
Dude, I looked at that map. And the map that was completely clean because of this one incident. Dude, it looked like a bowl of uncooked popcorn kernels. All of a sudden, 10 seconds later, boom, 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 like all of these points of interest just come flying at me. Now, do I love all the costume adjustments, all the headdresses that I can wear? Hell yeah. Dude, I was flying through some of those fashions. They were beautiful. Loved it. But when I saw that was so freaking deflating because I can't run straight through the story. So I put in many, many more hours getting myself halfway through the second portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally I just tapped out. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I just can't. So that's the sad Nick gaming moment. But I will say between me and you and this microphone, I did play it for 140 hours. I think I had enough. I think I'm okay. Like, yes, that game was $60, and this was when I had a job. Now I don't have a job. Thank God I didn't buy it now, because then I would feel like, oh my God, I have to finish it.
Sure.
Because I can't buy another game right now. It's like, oh my God, I put in 140 hours. Dude, oh my God.
Well, you know, you need to join the cool kids and buy a copy of Among Us and just play that.
No, I'm okay. Perfect. I was so bummed with this because it never felt like a Sucker Punch game. There was never really any cool platforming to do. There was never any, it just did not feel like a Sucker Punch game, where I played the new Spider-Man last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And that totally felt like their game, the people that did Ratchet and Clank. Shoot, I can't remember the house that did that, darn it.
I don't remember either.
But it felt like their game. Like, it totally felt, it was not like Ratchet and Clank. There was no guns, but it had that same vibe.
Right.
So I was totally loving that game. But this game, I kept hoping, and to be honest with you, I could tell that this game didn't have the same juice, because I don't think I ever even had a dream of that game, where usually when I get into an RPG or that type of a game, I totally will dream about like what's coming up or what I just went through, that type. No, there was never any like connection to it.
Hmm.
But it took me 140 hours to realize maybe I should try something else.
Man, that's
let's move on.
That's a lot of time, bro.
Dude, so much time.
It's a lot of time to invest in something.
Oh, are you playing any Halloween game?
Yep, Hearthstone.
No, I said Halloween.
Yeah, dude, everything's Halloween themed this month.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. they added elementals to the battlegrounds. There's
pumpkins
like,
will come up.
There's new solo adventure coming up with Rexxar. It's going to be awesome.
I thought you were going to say a whole different game. I thought there'd be some cool zombie game that you're doing.
There's candy corn on the title screen.
All right. Okay, Hearthstone will be your Halloween game. Okay, I hear you.
Here's the thing. No, actually, I'm doing a replay of Dead Island this month.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I love that game. And it's been a couple of years since I played. But the problem is, I own a lot of games.
Yep.
But the problem with games is the games that I love are very story-centric. And so if I'm going to sit down and play one of these games, I have to just focus on that for a couple hours.
Sure.
And Hearthstone, like, it requires focus and strategy, but, like, I could just sign in, play a game, and I'm done, right? 5 minutes.
Are you saying you don't want to give a game a couple hours of your time? Your time's too valuable?
I mean, sometimes, yes.
No, that isn't a bad thing.
And the thing is,
I feel that way about video games here and there, where it's like, but if I spent 2 more hours in Ghost of Tsushima, or I could be reading 5 more comics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a hard thing to weigh, because I instantly will be like, I'm going to go read comics.
Well, and so the thing is, I don't even, because of this, I don't even play like regularly. I usually don't play until the like last week of the month, usually. Or maybe the last 2 weeks, because the ranking system resets on the first of every month.
Oh.
And so that, like, the first week or two, everyone's playing all the decks that I hate, just in order to like climb the ladder.
Right? Sure. Because
the higher up you climb, the better rewards you get. And because I hate playing against these decks, because they require no skill. Right. It's just like, load this up, hit face, load this up, hit face. And that's freaking boring. I like to treat it more like a game of chess with strategy. So I wait until the second half of the month when everyone's playing these decks that are freaking mindless, just to get more wins. And then I craft a deck that will destroy those decks. And then I have a ton of fun because I win a lot and I climb.
Sure.
See? But the cool thing about Hearthstone is because it's turn-based, so you do your move and then you have to wait till your opponent does their move. Mm-hmm. Because it's turn-based like that, it allows me to do other things. So a lot of times, like, I might be playing, but like I'm reading or doing research for my other podcast, or I'm watching a movie, or like watching YouTube videos, you know, things like that.
Sure.
So it's a little, I don't know, it's a little simpler experience, I guess you could say.
That's good. That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
And it has candy corns on it.
And the title screen has candy corns right now, which
right.
I love. It's the worst candy ever created.
It is.
It's fucking terrible. Nobody, if you are one of these people that loves candy corn, I want you to unsubscribe from this podcast right now and never listen again. Because wow. I don't like you.
Wow.
Nobody likes candy corn.
Can't they unsubscribe to your other podcast? Wouldn't that be okay?
No, they have to unsubscribe from this podcast.
Why you got to throw me into this thing? Come
because, on. Because I'm going to make fun of them because they love shitty candy.
That's true.
That is unacceptable. It's like people that eat fucking fruit logs on Christmas. You're dead to me.
What? Nope,
nobody should do that. Okay, just having one in the room makes you a bad person.
You mean like fruitcake?
Yeah, fruitcake, dude. If you bring a fruitcake to Christmas, you're never invited to Christmas again.
I sort of like fruitcake. I might be on the other end of this.
I don't like fruitcake, man. I think the fruit in fruitcake is terrible. The cake itself is super dry. It's like you made a cake and forgot about it. It's like you promise your friend you bring him beef jerky to C2E2 and then forget for 3 years. It's like that.
I can relate to that. It sounds like you're getting some shitty fruitcake. You haven't had moist fruitcake?
I've never had anyone make a fruitcake. It's always been like...
Where they pour tons of alcohol on it?
Mm-mm.
What the hell? What kind of fruitcake you eating?
It's whatever fruitcake they sell at the store, man.
I think these are some family members that don't care for Martin Ferretti.
It's probably fruitcake left over from last Christmas.
The hell? I mean, you can even go to like Costco, and Costco's fruitcake is like... Nice and not pillowy, but it's soft. It's moist.
All right, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go to Costco. I'm going to buy a fruitcake. If it's terrible, I'm canceling this podcast.
Oh, don't do that. No. But now if you went to Costco, see, I thought you were going to say, I'm going to go to Costco, buy a fruitcake, put it in a closet for a year. And then pull it out, and we're going to eat some. Then I'd be like, yeah, that's terrible fruitcake. It sounds like your family members don't really care. Want to give you a poor experience. I can't help that, like, and one of my grandmothers used to do this. Her candy dish would get saran wrap put on it.
Uh-huh.
And then she'd just pull it out the next Christmas. So it's like the same hard candy that's in it. Like, you can eat the top layer because she might have, like, refreshed the top layer.
Right.
But then you get down a little too far and it's, like, a big hunk of, like, all these, like, candy pieces, like, melted into each other. So it's, like, one big hunk of thing in this jar. Disgusting. This sounds like your fruitcake experience.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Any of our, we will ban... I don't want to ban anyone for liking candy corns, but I will ban any listener who gives out candy corn as a Halloween treat. That you'll be banned from. Unsubscribe to this podcast.
What if you do that because it's funny to give kids shitty candy?
You know what's also funny? If I was a kid... And I threw about 20 eggs or threw some dog poop into your mailbox. That's also just as funny.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Get the hell out of here.
I mean, I can neither confirm nor deny that I have ever done this on purpose.
Given candy corn?
Yes.
See, now I could see you being the a-hole. You bring your daughter around. She collects all the candy. You pull out all the candy corn, and then the next trick-or-treater, you're like, here you go.
Mm-hmm. You know what I do like, though? Candy corn M&Ms. I like those.
Oh, gross. M&Ms are just gross.
No. Oh, man.
No.
No, we don't do that. We actually we buy the little mini candy bars.
There you go.
And give those out.
Those are respectable.
Yeah, everyone loves those. And they're wrapped, right? Like individually wrapped. So people don't need to freak out about disease or razor blades inside them or whatever the hell people do.
So what are you going to be doing in this time of pandemic?
I mean, my assumption is that we're going to get a lot of trick-or-treaters. because I live in the South and people don't believe in disease.
That's
so
true.
Yes, like my neighbors, they have parties every week. There's like 30 cars
wow.
out there.
Oh my god. Oh, that's insanity. It's so wow.
Yes.
Way to go.
Maybe they're trying to work on their herd immunity. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know what'll happen?
Hmm.
You open up the Holy Bible and you read that enough, God's going to protect you.
It's a funny you say that.
Scientific fact.
It's a funny you say that. This will lead into this will segue into me saying my wife many times.
Oh.
But my wife came home from work yesterday. This sponsored by Borat, the movie sequel coming to Amazon Prime near you very soon. Go
yeah,
check
like
it out. Tell them Nerdly just sent you. So anyway, so my wife came home from work, and she. You know, I make fun of my wife a lot.
Yes.
Because it's funny. It's like giving kids candy corn. I do it because it's funny because I know it gets a reaction from her. And she knows that I do it for that purpose, and she still does these things. So anyways, as I mentioned before, my wife voted for Mr. Donald Trump in 2016. If you're a Trump supporter, like, that's cool. I don't have a problem with that. So don't get the wrong idea. But obviously she regrets her decision now, and she will not be voting for him. But she came home from work.
Did she think it was funny when she voted for him?
Yes.
Just like, it's a goof. I'm going to do it.
She's
It'll
like,
hilarious.
She's like, this is hilarious. This is funny. If he wins, he's the guy from The Apprentice. I would love to see that in the White House. And you know what? I'm sure a lot of people thought that.
Of course.
And, you know, if you're a Trump supporter and you think he's done great for the country, great. I'm not going to convince you otherwise. Mm-hmm. However, I think he's a moron. And I'm talking about personal experience because, as I said, I grew up in New York. New Yorkers know he's a garbage person. So, anyways, she comes home and she's like, there are Trump signs everywhere. Because there are. Like, mm-hmm. everyone on my street has Trump signs on their lawn.
Sure.
And I'm like, what do you expect? We live in South Carolina. Like, who else are people going to vote for?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to vote for anybody else. It's got to be a Republican. And if he's the Republican running, that's who they're going to vote for. This, of course, goes great into our conversation on cults and Viserion, because, like, that's what politics is. It's just a freaking cult. You just need to, you know, become educated for yourself. That's all I'm saying. And if then you still find that that's the best candidate, then cool. Although, you know, I've seen on Twitter, for example, some people that follow me, and obviously I don't talk politics because it's just a garbage rabbit hole. You know what I mean? Like, that's just jumping into a dumpster fire. Right. Like I said, you respect my opinion, I respect yours, like, whatever. We don't need to discuss it. And but I have seen many people who are Trump supporters saying, like, now they don't know who they're going to vote for. Because, like, Biden's kind of a dumpster fire, too. People are watching the debate, and it was like... the dumpster fire of all dumpster fires.
Oof.
And it really pissed some people off. You know what I mean? And, like, I think that's good. I think it's good that, like, you see things for the way they are. So I don't know. I saw one person saying that, like, this is just scrap the whole thing and come up with new candidates on both sides.
Well, that can't happen.
I mean, either way, we're screwed this year. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. As a matter of fact, I'll publicly state I don't vote for the simple reason that I don't believe it makes any difference. And I believe the system is intrinsically broken, and it's not going to make any difference in the big scheme of things. Number two, we put such a large focus on the presidential election. And I hate to tell you folks, it means absolutely nothing. If you want to focus on the election, it should be on Senate and the House, not on the president, because those people can make a difference. The president cannot. All the president does is dictate policy. God, I don't want to talk about politics, and I'm doing it.
No, I don't know where. I don't know how you got on this topic other than your wife.
But yeah, so anyways, so she's like, there's Trump signs everywhere. And so we went through this whole conversation, which leads me to the story I really wanted to tell. Because my wife loves Stephen King, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a TV show on, like, I don't know, like the AT&T network, whatever the hell that was. Mm. And of course, that's all being shuffled around because AT&T is putting all their focus on HBO Max. So that's why DC Universe is dead. RIP. Called it, by the way, a year ago. All the movie and TV shows going to HBO Max from all of AT&T's properties. Mm-hmm. And as a result, like, this show was up in the air, and she wanted to watch it. The show is Mr. Mercedes, based on a Stephen King novel, Mr. Yep. Mercedes. I think there's three seasons, maybe, of this show.
Hmm.
And so what does my wife do? Think about this. What do you think Heather does because she wants to watch this TV show?
She gets 3 free months of HBO Max so she can watch it using 3 different email addresses.
Incorrect, because it's not on HBO Max.
Oh, I thought it was. Okay.
And you can't get this channel unless you're like an AT&T UVerse subscriber.
Oh, no. Does she resubscribe to cable?
No.
Oh,
no, because then we have to get rid of cable or cable internet and get AT&T UVerse.
Ooh.
So there's no way for her to watch this.
Oh, no.
My wife is very crafty.
Hmm.
And so what she does is go to the library, get a library card.
Yeah.
Get on Hoopla.
Yeah.
And start watching Mr. Mercedes. Okay. Makes perfect sense, right? We're good.
I like it. Anybody getting a library card, I'm all for.
Absolutely. I agree with you. So here's the problem.
That's a good way for her to spend her tax dollars.
Absolutely. Here's the problem. A season of the show is like 13 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Hoopla has monthly limits on everything. From my understanding, it differs state to state.
Sure. Depending on the package that the library bought.
Yeah. Correct. For our state, the limit is 5.
Mm.
So the problem is she can't watch the full season.
Sounds like everyone in the Ferretti house all got library cards, including her extended family.
We're getting there. So she can't watch the full season. She can watch half the season. So I'm wrapping up dinner yesterday, and she gets home, and her and Reagan go to get something. I can't remember. They get home, and of course, what do they come home with? A brand new library card for Reagan.
Nice.
And so they start telling me the library card, and I'm like, that's cool. And Reagan's kind of acting a little weird about it. And I'm like, something fishy's going on here. And so Reagan blurts out, yeah, I don't even want to get it. Mama made me get it. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, yeah, she made me go up there and fill the application out and sign it and everything so she can get the library card so she can watch the other half of the season of Mr. Mercedes.
Man, that library must love that all of these Ferrettis are signing up for library cards.
Well, here's the problem.
That's huge.
Here's the problem. Now my wife finishes season one. But now Reagan is out of credits on her Hoopla account.
Yep.
So I get a text from my wife while she's at work. Hey, I need you to go to the library. And I said, why is that? And she's like, I need you to find your library card. Because I have one. Zoe's got one. I need you to find a library card. And I'm like, okay, why? She's like, I also need you to find Zoe's library card. And I'm like, why are you so interested in the library cards? She's like, well, I already...
It's our civic duty to be responsible library people.
She says, I was watching Mr. Mercedes. I ran out of credits on Hoopla. I got Reagan a library card. Now she's out of credits on Hoopla. And I can't watch season 2. So I need you to give me your library card number and Zoe's library card number so that I can do it. Now, here's the problem. Number one, I lost my library card. That's either A or B. I maybe threw it away because it expired. So I was like,
C, Martin can go to the library or do it online and get a brand new card.
Well, so I text her back and I'm like, I can't find the cards. And she's like, well, go to the library and renew the card.
Yeah, they'll take care of you.
Right, just get a new card.
Right.
And here's the thing, like, it's not like I can find a way around this.
No, it's your wife.
Because, well, number one, it's my wife. Number two, the library is half a mile from my home.
Yeah, that's not a bad reason.
Not only is it half a mile from my home, the road that the library's on is the only way in and out of town. So even when I go grocery shopping, I pass the library. I pass the library at least four times a day. Okay? So there is no excuse whatsoever.
It's very easy to get a card renewed.
For sure. Maybe. I just don't want to go.
I've done it. For sure.
I know. So anyways, I just don't want to go. And then I think to myself, I'm a bright guy. There's got to be a way out of this. And then I remember, Nick, today is October 1st.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you don't need it because now your credits are renewed.
Problem solved for at least the next 3 days.
But it gets better.
Uh-oh.
Because not
you
only...
Know, you know one... I don't know if you've throughout this reason. Maybe this would work for you. Did you say, hey, what about your parents? Don't they have cards?
They don't have cards because in the town that they lived in, they didn't have a library. And they just moved closer to here. So now they would have to get one. Which I'm surprised. Here's the thing. Before this whole library debacle, she tried to get my father-in-law's sign-in information for his AT&T U-verse account. Because they have AT&T U-verse.
Oh, boy.
But let me tell you that this was a saga for like 2 weeks. Because my wife's grandma had AT&T U-verse. And when she got sick, right before she passed away, my father-in-law had all her accounts transferred into his name.
Uh-oh.
Okay? Now, normally you would think, not that big a deal. We live in the 21st century. It's the year 2020. We are very high tech. We're very smart people. Mm-hmm. We have very advanced technology. Apparently, this does not apply to AT&T. Because of the fact that he put all of his mom's accounts under his name, that automatically linked that account to his own personal AT&T U-verse account. And so when you try to sign in to the account online, it asks for a password. You put the password in. It says the password's incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
So you do the forgot password thing. It sends you an email. So it emails the correct email address, gives you a link to reset the password. It takes you to the reset password thing. You put in your new password. It says, congratulations, your password was reset. You go and put it in, and it won't let you into the account.
Yes.
Because even though these two accounts are separate, they're tied together, and somehow it's looking for the password for the other account. But you can't reset the password for the other account because both accounts have the same email address, and so it's constantly just giving you a password reset for this one account and not the other. And AT&T tech support, when you call them, has no way to fix it.
Oh, God. Terrible.
So
I think it'd be a lot easier for her to get her parents to go get two new cards.
Well, yes. So he can sign in and pay the bill, but he can't use the AT&T app to watch the stuff. Because, you know, like you can watch on your phone or whatever from anywhere.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Can't do that.
Wow. So like one of the biggest benefits of having that it has been removed.
Correct. So this is what led to the library card debacle of 2020. And but it gets better.
Hmm.
Because Then she still wants me to get the library card because she'll run out of credits for season two, and she's got to watch season three.
Right. Oh, you're not out of it. She's going to come back to you in about 4 days.
Oh, wait.
Wanting to re-watch season three.
Oh, wait. But I solved it.
Oh, no.
I manifested reality to come into place in my favor.
Hmm.
You think I'm joking, but this is true. Because Peacock just announced that they bought the rights to Mr. Mercedes, and starting October 15th, it will be available on Peacock for free.
Wow.
You like that?
Nice.
Nice, nice. Huh? So the library debacle of 2020 is resolved thanks to Peacock.
I still think you should get a library card.
And my chaos magic that I learned from Grant Morrison.
That's true.
Yes. But I do need to renew my card.
Going back to the Halloween-y thing,
mm-hmm.
I already had a discussion with the wife because you know how pretty protective we are during these COVID times.
Yes.
We haven't heard anything from our county or our town regarding Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is everything will still be going because those kids need candy. God forbid the parents spend $10 and just buy them a sack of fucking candy. So I already discussed this with Julie, the cruise director, and I'm like, if you don't think I'm going to turn off every freaking light in this place and go upstairs and read comics that entire from 5 o'clock at night all the way till I go to bed, you are climbing up the wrong wall. And she's like, okay, that's what you want to do. Okay. But now she's in this funk, and I don't know if it's from the YouTube videos she's been watching, but now she's like, we should buy some Halloween decorations just to decorate the house up because I'm a little sad and down and I need a bright spot. And I'm like, Halloween decorations, get the hell out of here. I'm like, get out of here. Because she's not talking about like some, you know, disgusting deformed rat or something like that. She wants like this bare tree with like purple lights that are hanging off of it, something like that.
Fancy.
And I'm just like, no, we're not doing that. No, I refuse. No way. And she's just like, well, we could go get it. And I'm like, I don't have a job. Do you think we should go out and spend $20 or however much it is to buy some stupid decoration? I'm like, no, we're not doing that. Get that out of your head.
Well, I'm like, see,
trying to tell her to snap out of her bad mood, but it's, you know, it's hard to say that to your wife.
The Ferrettis are very crafty.
Hmm.
And as you remember, my wife bought a new Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this, we get $100 every time we say that. Yes, from Borat, the sequel. Catch it on Amazon Prime next month.
Nice. Synergy.
Yes.
Is that Christmas tree? I know in April it was still up in the Ferretti household. Is it still up today?
Well, my friend, it is not a Christmas tree.
Uh-oh.
My wife has dubbed it the house tree.
Oh, no.
And because the lights are remote controlled through an app and they're LEDs, they can be changed into any color pattern or variation that you would like. And so as of last night, they are purple and orange lights because it is now officially a Halloween tree.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
But now, doesn't that tree have like ornaments, Christmas ornaments on it or anything like that?
It does not have ornaments on it because then it would be a Christmas tree. This is a house tree that changes with the seasons.
Oh, so you removed the ornaments and now if you wanted to put Halloween ornaments on it, you could.
Yeah, we just change the lights when new holidays come up. Like it was pink and red for Valentine. It was some like multicolored thing for the summer. And now it's purple and orange for Clemson Tigers and Halloween.
Nice. But for Christmas, do you hang like garland or?
No garland, but we do have ornaments.
Okay, so you did remove those.
Yes, there are no ornaments on the tree.
Gotcha. Okay.
Although she
colored tree.
She did buy some like bats and stuff to hang on the tree.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. So it's a Halloween tree, which is fine because, I mean, the neighbors already think we're weird anyway because we don't have Trump signs on our lawn. But, you know, the Christmas tree's in the family room, and that room has a triple window. So it's, you know, like 6, 7, 8 feet of window, and the tree is right next to the window. And so,
everybody sees it.
Yeah, so anybody who walks their dogs every day sees our house tree through the window. And now it's Halloween colors. See?
Oh, and that's so good.
We already have our scene picked out for Thanksgiving. We call it the harvest scene. Yeah, it's very good. It's like orange and green and red and, you know, like Thanksgiving colors. Like a cornucopia.
Sure.
Yeah. And then it'll be Christmas, and then we'll have a Christmas tree again. Until January. And then it'll be whatever happens in January. It'll be a January tree.
I was so frustrated with Julie, the cruise director, that during this little argument that we were having, I even said, look, if you want me to bring up the freaking Christmas tree, I'll decorate for Christmas and you'll have lights and it will change your mood completely. And she goes, oh, no, we can't be putting out the Christmas stuff. It's way too early. We have to wait till November.
It's true.
And in my head, I'm just like, yeah, but this will solve the problem. We don't need to buy anything. Are you kidding me?
That's funny. See, I did have to put a stop to it because Reagan loves Christmas.
Mm.
She likes Halloween, but she's not a big fan of it because her birthday is in October. And everyone's all about Halloween in October. You
sure.
know what I mean? Especially me, because it's my favorite month, because it's horror month. Right. And I hate Christmas because I'm a curmudgeon. But she loves Christmas, and her middle name is Noel, so of course she loves Christmas.
Yeah.
She started playing Christmas music yesterday.
Uh-oh.
I said, oh no, we cannot do this.
Get this off of.
I don't go into stores during the Christmas season because they play Christmas music. We're not doing this at the house. I said, you can play Halloween music. She's like, there's no Halloween music. I said, au contraire, my friend. There's plenty of Halloween music.
There's
like 13 Halloween movies. So you have 13 variations of the same theme song.
Mm-hmm.
You have hundreds of other horror movies. Just find like a horror movie soundtrack or just play Thriller nonstop. I'm okay with that. But you cannot play Christmas music yet. You gotta wait at least until November 1st.
She doesn't want like just instrumental like haunted house music?
Nope.
She wants the real deal.
Yeah. Which, I mean, like once the season starts, I'm cool with, right? Like November 1st, that's fine. Even though like you still have 2 months. And a lot of times she doesn't play like stereotypical Christmas music. She plays a lot of like Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Oh boy.
Because we go to Trans-Siberian Orchestra every year.
Oof.
Well, you don't like it? I like it, man.
Buddy, I worked at a music store. You want to know how much Trans-Siberian freaking orchestra I heard in a month and a half period?
Oh, man.
Oh, good golly, Miss Molly. Oh,
well,
it's the worst with that horrible electric guitar. Ay, ay, ay.
And see, I've worked retail. And so I'm very familiar with hearing Christmas music over the loudspeaker for, you know, 8 hours a day.
Oh, God, just the worst.
Yeah, so Christmas music is my least favorite of all music. Like, I would rather... What would I rather do? I would rather listen to Nails on a Chalkboard all day long than listen to Christmas music.
Oh, I love Christmas music.
Well,
we will differ there.
You're
I like traditional Christmas music.
I don't know, man.
Trans-Siberian? Oof. Nat King Cole? Absolutely.
Yeah, Nat King Cole's good. A little Sinatra in there, some stuff like that. Yeah, I'm good with that. Not like a whole bunch of it.
I want a mix of it. I don't want a full album of anything.
Yeah.
Give me a little mix. I'll be okay with that. Even throw some Lawrence Welk in there. I'm all right with that. Come on, baby.
Some, what's that young guy? I guess he's not that young anymore. Damn, what's his name?
Harry Connick?
No, not Harry Connick. The guy that sounds kind of like Harry Connick.
Michael Bublé?
That's him, Bublé.
Just give me any traditional, not this screeching guitar work. And we also had to listen to George Winston December during Christmas. And my God, that stuff is just like stuff that you like want to fall asleep to. Like, yeah. Don't forget, I was 20 years old when I'm listening to this. So sure. I'm just like, oh my God, can we speed this up? This is not John Coltrane. This is not Lee Morgan. Jesus.
And that's part of the problem.
As soon as you put that on, it's either that, Yanni, or Kenny G at the time. As soon as you put any of those on in any morning, noon, or night, you're going to have at least two people come up and be like, hey, what you playing there? And then it's like, George Winston, December. Oh, where would I find that? And you, whenever a customer says that, that's just, I think Target does the same thing. They won't point you in the direction. They'll walk you over to it.
Yeah.
Because the whole scam with that is you put it in somebody's hand, they're less likely to put it back. Right. They'll just take it.
Right.
So that's what we did. Here, this is George Winston December on cassette. And you put it in their hand. Oh, is the rest of the album like this? Uh-huh. Is it this good? And as soon as they asked me my opinion, like, I never would say, no, this is terrible. This isn't jazz. This is that god-awful new age music, which is not jazz. So get out of here with that bullshit. But they'd ask me, oh, do you like it? My instant default remark would be, well, it sells a lot. Oh, okay. And then they instantly are like, obviously it's good, it sells a lot. And it's like, yeah, it's good, sells a lot. It's just worse.
That's hilarious.
My God, that's like hilarious. Kenny G was so bad with that damn what was it, soprano sax?
Yep.
It almost made me stop listening to John Coltrane when he would play soprano sax. It almost made me stop. And it's like, no, I refuse to give in. No, I'm not going to stop listening to John Coltrane, My Favorite Things, because guess what? That's one of the best renditions of My Favorite Things ever put down. And Kenny G is not going to break me. That damn songbird is not going to break this bird down. F you.
I hear you, buddy.
Oh, how'd we get on that topic?
You know, the house tree.
Yes, the holiday house tree. It's so funny.
I got a couple trailers I want to bring to your attention.
Ooh.
I know one I shared with you, one I did not.
Uh-oh.
So the one I shared with you already is the Kraft remake.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
Yes, I did. How is that not just the original film?
Yes. So
that is not the Kraft legacy. That's just the Kraft remake. I'm watching that thing. I'm like, this is exactly like the Kraft. How is this a remake?
Well, yes.
Sure, they're tackling different topics. I get it.
Right. And it's a different cast. And
it's an update of that film, not a sequel to that film.
Correct. My assumption is that lead character is Firuza Balk's daughter or something, or like somehow related, maybe, because you see a picture of her. But here's the thing. I love the original Kraft. I really did. I really enjoyed it. It's like a moment in time. You know what I mean? I've seen it since. It's not as good as I remember it, like, the first time I watched it.
Yeah.
But like, it's a fun, like, teeny get into witchcraft movie.
Yeah.
And so I want to see the remake just to see like what happens. My assumption is I'll enjoy it as much as the other one. 'Cause you're right. It seems like it's the same fucking movie.
For sure.
except for the for one simple fact that Michelle Moynihan is not in the original Craft, and she is in this one.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And David Duchovny.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
He's always fun.
He's fine, but he's playing what was that TV show he did on like Showtime or whatever? He seems to be playing that character, like the sleazy, like pedophile dad.
Yes. But Michelle Moynihan, oh yay.
Yeah,
that woman doesn't age,
right?
Oof.
Anyways,
but she can't even draw me to that movie.
Mm.
If all of a sudden it appeared on one of my streaming services, I might watch it just for her. But there is no Fairuza Balk in that film, that's for sure.
That you know of.
I looked at the other Coven ladies, and there is no Fairuza Balk. No.
Oh, you mean, okay. I thought you meant like her actually showing up.
No. Maybe she does. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is not a character that has her attitude and or beauty, so.
Correct. Anyways, I think it'd be cool if she does show up, though.
For sure.
So that's number one. Number two, I did not share with you because I did not want Nick Wetmore to be pee-peeing his pants.
Oh, thank you.
So I did not share it with you. But I want to bring it to the listeners' attention because it is Halloween-y month,
yes.
The best month of the year, and you should check the trailer out. This is a British movie. I'm pretty sure it's a British movie. The accent seems a little Cockney.
Okay.
It is called Kindred.
Hmm.
And it looks like an interesting take on Get Out. Matter of fact, I read some reviews of the trailer, and some people called it like it could be a prequel to Get Out.
Hmm.
And it starts off with an interracial couple, a white guy and a black woman, and it turns out that she's pregnant, and they go see his family, and it's the mom and his brother. Something happens. And it seems like the husband gets killed, maybe. And she starts getting sick because the mother-in-law may be poisoning her. So now she's stranded in this giant mansion with her crazy mother-in-law and brother-in-law who may be trying to steal her baby.
Jeez. Wow.
Not entirely clear from the trailer. But like I said, for those of you that enjoy horror, check out the trailer for Kindred, and you'll see what I mean. It gives you that Get Out vibe. You know what I mean? You saw Get Out, right?
No.
Oh, you didn't. Okay. But you know about it.
Yep.
How it uses like horror tropes to talk about like racial relations.
Yeah.
It kind of seems like it may head in that direction here as well.
Well, it seems like the director has made a lot of films that you might want to watch.
Oh, I didn't even look that up. I'm glad you said that. Enlighten me, my friend.
No, it just seems like they're, just looking at the posters, it seems like they're in the Martin Ferretti wheelhouse. That's for sure.
I like the sound
Except
of that.
There's a couple documentaries that he did as well. So that's interesting.
You know, the problem with looking up something like Kindred is that it's such a common name for a movie.
Yeah, I saw that there was a 1987 film called Kindred.
Yes.
And it's a horror film. That's why I was like, is that what he's talking about? Is there a remake to this film?
As far as I know, it is not a remake of that film.
Well, the IMDb of the 87 Kindred is a scientist's son inherits the slimy results of her misguided genetic experiments.
Whoa!
What? That sounds so generic.
That sounds crazy. Oh, this is the first feature-length film he's done. It's all been shorts and documentaries.
Yeah, some of them look good.
Very good. I'm going to have to check that out. But yeah, Kindred is that one. And then I did share another one. I forgot the third one. Did you watch the trailer for 616?
No, I have not.
Ah, okay. So Disney Plus is a new original series called Marvel 616. It says it's a series. I don't know if it's like an ongoing or like a special event docu-series. But it's like interviewing creators about like the history of Marvel and like creating characters and creating comics. It also touches upon like the filmmaking side and movie making side and TV making side. It touches upon like Marvel fans and cosplay and all that stuff. Looks really interesting.
Are you sure they're just not cobbling together all of the Blu-ray extras into a 2-hour thing?
Look, that's very possible.
Yeah. That's what this sort of sounds like.
But I didn't recognize any of the footage from this.
When is that coming out?
Let's see if I can find it here. November 20th.
Wow, that's a long way away.
November 20th.
Disney Plus needs to put out some new content. And I'm sorry, let me put an asterisk. Asterisk, new content that you don't have to pay $19.99 for.
Yeah.
Hello, Lon.
I think they may have learned their lesson from that, my friend.
Wow, that's crazy.
I don't think they'll be doing that again.
Just crazy.
I don't know how – there's like trailers for 4 episodes, so it's at least 4 episodes.
Oh, okay. All right.
But you should check it out. It looks cool.
I will. I forgot to look into it.
We always talk about the lack of this type of content. And when you have a network that deals exclusively with your content, why wouldn't you do this?
Yeah, makes sense.
I hope HBO Max does it with DC also. Now that DC Universe is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will they keep going with their comic book bits?
No, that DC Daily Show is canceled.
No, I mean the actual, like, digital comics.
Oh, yeah. DC Universe is going to be only comics.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm sure you're going to get a price cut now that they've removed half their content, right?
Well, I'm not resubscribing, if that's what you're asking.
No, that was a joke. My guess is they're just going to remove all of that type of content and be like, yeah, it's still whatever it is, $10 a month.
Well, and you got to remember, like, now that it's there, there's, like, no cost to keeping it going. You know what I mean?
Right.
So DC Universe is not going to ever go away. But it's just not interesting to me anymore.
Yeah, but you take away the movies, films, and documentaries and stuff like that. That's a lot of content that they just removed.
Yes. Well, you know, AT&T sees that it's going well for Disney. So they just want to turn HBO Max into Disney Plus.
I understand that. Yeah, because if you're just an HBO subscriber and all of a sudden you got all this DC stuff, yeah, I'll watch a movie or a TV show here and there. Or I heard about this, you know, series that now I'll tune into. Sure.
Yeah.
But will they continue doing new series? I don't know.
I don't know. We'll wait and see on that. I think it's too early to tell.
Well, Watchmen brought in quite a few Emmys, so maybe they'll see the light there.
Yep, maybe. That's true.
Maybe. J.J. Abrams can pull the rabbit out of a hat again and do it for another comic book title. Who knows?
Well, he said he didn't want to do Watchmen again, so he's not doing season 2.
Right.
But I'm sure, like, if they back the truck up on him, he'd be like, all right, I guess I'll do another season.
No, I'm saying he dips his toe into a different IP.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, like, oh, what do I used to read a Vertigo title. Oh, yeah, I'll do a stand of that. Now.
Well, since you said that, I think they're doing a Hellblazer series.
I wouldn't doubt it.
That's what I heard.
Is Keanu Reeves going to come back?
No, and I don't think it'd be whoever they use for the guy that plays him on Legends.
Right.
I don't think it'd be that guy either. And see, that's weird too, because like Stargirl was supposed to be on Universe, but it ended up being a CW show.
Hmm.
So I don't know how that's going to work going forward.
Do you think it after the season wraps up, it'll just end up on HBO Plus or HBO Max?
I don't know, man. That whole thing's weird. So who was talking? It Maybe is. DJ was talking about that on Brightside. Or it might have been What Did You Watch This Week? I don't remember. One of the two shows, I think, was talking about this. Because, you know, Arrow's over now. So, like, they rebranded. It's not like the Arrowverse. Now it's the CW-verse. But, like, the shows aren't related, right? Because, like, you still have Flash and Legends, and they're still kind of related. But Legends is doing its own thing, so they're not even, like, in the crossovers or anything much. And then Static is totally separate. And Stargirl is totally separate. Batgirl's totally – or Batwoman is totally separate. So I don't know, man. If they're going to do that, they need to figure out a better way to do it, I think, if they're going to keep them with CW.
Or just bring – or as soon as they're done, bring them over to HBO Max. Who the hell knows?
That's true, too. That's true, too.
Who the heck knows?
I think the TV shows were doing really well on Universe. That's why they're going to save them, I guess. I think they've all been renewed. Harley's been renewed, and Titans is renewed before the season's out. So, yeah. What's the other one? There's another one that got renewed too.
Doom Patrol.
Yeah, I think that was already announced though, like a while back. The animated one. Oh God, Aaron Bell's gonna kick me if he hears this. Young Justice.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that one's renewed too.
Gotcha.
But I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well, it's a great way now that they removed all those darn TV shows and documentaries and movies and put them on HBO. That's a really good way to have all that new audience that loves those different versions. Now they'll be introduced to comic books, right? It's so much easier just for them, just a whole new audience to jump over and start reading DC comic books.
You got it. That's the master plan.
Or wait, they'll just go over to HBO Max and forget that comic books were ever done. Okay. Makes sense.
Mission accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife will be happy that there'll be one less service.
But unless now she's going to have to sign up for CBS All Access.
Yeah, more library cards.
So that she can watch The Stand.
You know, Trump's worried about voter fraud. He should be worried about my wife's library fraud.
That sounds like a priority he can get behind.
I mean, I don't know. Sounds like a hot issue.
We don't talk about this pandemic. That just means there really isn't this pandemic going on.
That's true. It's fake news.
Right.
It's fake news.
It's all blown out of proportion.
Listen.
Your neighbors are having parties every weekend. You can tell. It's all blown out of proportion.
Is there an earpiece in your ear? Are you getting your show notes from somebody else? Is that what's happening right now? I'm going to call my wife. We made like $2,000 tonight, just so you know.
Oh, thank God. Now we can finally buy that Nerdy Legion shot glass set and have that available on the website.
Yes. Available only at nerdylegion.com/Borat.
Yes. Get your 10% off code.
Yes.
And don't forget, with every purchase of our shot glass, or if you're not a drinker, your toothpick holder glasses, every purchase of the toothpick holder glasses will also receive a free 5-pack of disinfectant wipes.
Oh, that's a good deal.
And don't forget, every order that's over $50, shipping will only be $25. So you get a little break on the shipping. You also get the 5-pack of disinfectant wipes and a 5-pack. That's right. Another 5-pack of butt wipes.
Ooh.
Keep your ass smelling good. Keep your ass shiny and new. That's free, people.
That's right.
$50 will get you all of that.
And you can use offer code Nick Wetmore at dudewipes.com to get a free one butt wipe sample.
That's wrong. It's doo-doo wipes. Remember, they changed the
URL. Doo-doo wipes. That's right. Mm-hmm. And if you place an order of only $199.99 or higher, you will also receive a free sample of their incredible ball shaving cream. Available only at doodoowipes.com/Nick Wetmore.
Their ball shaving cream. You're not talking about Sack Attack, right?
Yes! Okay. How did you know?
Okay, I didn't know if they rebranded it yet, but yes, Sack Attack is a great product.
I feel like that should be the title of this episode.
Hey, you can call it that. Who's gonna call? who's gonna come down from on high of Apple Podcasts and renounce that? But will it be SAC or SACK?
I don't think
Apple Podcasts would even notice. And don't forget, if you hit the $250 or more tier, you will instantly be entered into our Patreon that will instantly get you, because I don't know if people know this, every 5 months, we do a 10-minute bonus podcast that we put up on our Patreon for the $500 or more subscriber.
It's true.
So you'll get that instantly for free. Including Sack Attack, including the poopy wipe, the 5-sack poopy wipe attack.
Yep.
And the shipping, sadly, well, we're almost giving it away.
at the discounted
price of $25 shipping.
That's true.
It's almost like we're giving it away, but $25 shipping.
But you think about it. If you go to the store and buy these wipes, they're going to cost you like $2 or $3. You're really only paying like $22.95 for shipping.
And we're not making anything off that shipping.
No.
No, because you know how expensive glass toothpick holder glasses are to ship? How weighty those are?
That's true.
Ooh. And those wipes, those are heavy. Those are heavy wipes.
They are heavy wipes.
Yeah.
They are heavy wipes. See, that's why we need to defund the US Postal Service. They're crooks with their shipping rates.
I just can't believe when I used to order through eBay and people would have shipping down for like $14. Ooh. And then somewhere in their description, it's like, I'm not making anything off of shipping. And it's like, who are you going to? Unless you're driving it to my house and it's $14 worth of gas, who are you kidding that you're not making any money? And then you get the package and it's like shipping costs. And hey, guess what, idiot? The shipping cost is right there in the upper right-hand corner. And it's always like $6.24. But I didn't make anything off shipping. Oh, hey. It's like, yep. Oh, get out of here.
Yep. I had to go to UrbanDictionary.com because it seemed like an obvious thing to do when we mentioned something like Sack Attack.
Yeah.
So let me read from this fine internet publication, UrbanDictionary.com. Sack Attack. Would you like that in a sentence? I got Sack Attacked by Matt in the pub last night. What does it mean, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked such a thing. Sack Attack. To whip out one's testicle and accompanying scrotum in an unsavory manner in front of the unsuspecting victim. By the way, whip out means to rapidly and brazenly expose one's male genitalia. Sack Attack is often done in public places, coupled with the shouting of, "My brain!"
What?
Yes, this is what it says.
You know what that used to be called in my circles?
Hmm.
You would do that, like outside of your shorts.
Right.
You'd pull out one of the boys.
Yes.
And then the unsuspecting party, when they glance at it, you say, "Oh, I sat in gum." That's what you would say. And guess what? That should be the title of this episode.
I was thinking we used to call this Arabian goggles.
That's even better.
But I think Arabian goggles is a less passive action. Sack attack seems like you're wiping your testicle on someone's face, and it's one testicle, even though it says maybe it could be a plural testicles. But the Arabian goggles was often done at parties when I was growing up, because someone would get very drunk and fall asleep on the couch.
Sure.
And somebody else would get right over them, expose their testicles on that person's face, generally at least touching part of the nose, and then try to wake such person up so that when they woke up, they would see balls and asshole right in front of their face.
Wait, so are you saying that you're facing the same way as the person who passed out? So you're dropping your sack, the boy's, onto his nose, and then your pee-pee goes down the nose? So it's almost like one of those Groucho Marx.
No. The Groucho Marx is very different. No, there's no pee-pee involved. You can keep your pee-pee in your pants.
How do you get the boys out then?
I mean, if you're wearing shorts, it's easy. I mean, you can pull your pants down.
What are you wearing, Jimmy Connor short shorts? What are you talking about? Yeah. How large is that sack? Does your sack go down 12 inches that you're pulling them out? What do you have, an old man sack? What's going on there?
No, you can just... I mean, you pull your zipper down and just pull a nut out, put it on there. But it's funnier when you just pull your pants down. Because then you hold onto your junk, but you lay your testicles on the person's face, generally on the nose. And so your butthole is directly in front of their eyes. And then somehow you manage to wake them up from their drunken stupor. And they see balls in the face and testicle in the eye.
And then... does the person that this just happened to, or is it the women at the party that look at you and say the classic When Harry Met Sally line, "I'll have what he
has"? No, Nick. Come on now. No. We're very respectful of the ladies.
Sure, sure, sure. Well, yeah. I also said the guy who was passed out that you did it to.
Oh, I see.
I'm not leaving him out. Maybe he said that.
Well, you see, with the ladies, we do the Groucho Marx.
Oh, gross.
Which is making beautiful, nasty, full-eyed contact, love in, around, or up against a dumpster, usually with a hooker from Craigslist, and at your friend's wedding. I don't know what that means.
What the hell does that mean?
That's the Groucho Marx.
Good God.
Uh-huh. Also, an act of vandalism. The perpetrator, while hanging out the window of a sedan, grabs a garbage bag placed on the side of the road for pickup and drags it down the street until the bag breaks, scattering the trash.
What?
That's what it says.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's what it says.
When did Groucho Marx ever do that?
I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen all of Groucho Marx's fine films. But maybe at some point he did this.
You never seen... any Marx Brothers?
I've seen some, but I haven't seen, like, their catalog.
Well, yeah, they did a lot.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Sometimes Urban Dictionary strikes out. But I do like the idea of your...
Arabian goggles?
Arabian goggles. But also, I sat in gum is perfect because, guess what? You sit in gum, and it does look like a hairy fuzzball mess.
Mm.
And yet it's just your testicle popping out saying hi.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
I see. I'm looking at the trending terms from Urban Dictionary.
Oh,
and,
boy.
And I have to say, Nick, I must be an old man because I don't recognize any of this.
You stopped looking at Urban Dictionary when they put in YOLO? Is that what you're saying? You're like, that is enough. That is as far as I want to go.
What you're is right. Yak shaving?
Yak shaving?
This is too much. These kids nowadays. Any seemingly pointless activity, which is usually necessary to solve a problem, which solves a problem. Okay. Which several levels of recursion later solves the real problem you're working on. Okay.
Wow.
Children, listen. Quit getting on Urban Dictionary.
Quit making up fake terms.
Yeah, I don't recognize these words. When back in my day, we didn't have all these words. We used simple, innocuous language like Arabian goggles.
Right.
Yes. What was the other one that I liked? The spitting dragon. Was that the one? Something dragon. Pretty sure that was it. And that one, my friends, I cannot describe to you here on this podcast because we'll be thrown out of iTunes if I tell you what that is.
Yes. Leave that to the imagination. Or yes. Urban Dictionary for everyone to look up. But
just yes, whatever you do, do not go to bit.ly/ what is spitting dragon?
Ugh.
Matter of fact, I'm going to make that right now.
Yep.
This is a genuine link that you can use. Let me create this right now so I can tell you. Yes, here it is. Nerdy. Okay, go to bit.ly/nerdylegiondragon and you will learn exactly what the spitting dragon is. Guaranteed. Oh, this link sponsored by Borat, the sequel. If you want to get more information, head on over to nerdylegion.com/Borat for more information.
Mm-hmm.
That is also a working link, so head on over. Check it out.
Nice.
Oh, Nick. You know, here's what happens.
What?
When you do a podcast for 5 years, as we have done, with this very podcast, there comes a time when you must create new jokes on the fly, and fortunately, this has been one of those episodes in which we have created such a thing. Head on over to bit.ly/nerdylegionlovesborat to learn more. And that's it. I think we should wrap it up. What do you think?
Yeah, let's put the sack attack to bed.
You've been listening to the Nerd Legion Podcast with Nick Wetmore. It's his show. I have no affiliation with this whatsoever. All views and opinions expressed on the show are solely the property of Nicholas Tiberius Wetmore. Get in touch with him at Nick Wetmore. You can find me at GeekFind, and the show is at Nerd Legion. Thank you. We're done. We're probably never coming back after this.